Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for joining us for worship as we continue on this Christmas season. It's good to see a little snow on the ground, and as we get ready to move towards the spirit of Christmas, a lot of news in the life of our church, as this is a busy time of year for all of us. On the Love Feast service, don't forget that is at Shenrun Village, 2 p.m. today. Come join us. Paige will be singing our Morning Star. It's a community-wide worship. Bundle up. It is cold. There's no heating in a building that is pre-colonial, so we'll try to preach quick. But it's a great service, a wonderful way to start the season. People from all over the area, from Cleveland, from Canton, come to this service to experience an authentic Moravian love feast during the Christmas season. So it's great evangelism on our part. Another note: we are looking for a volunteer to represent us for Provincial Synod, which will be this summer, from June 21st to June 24th. We do have people who have been to Provincial Synod who are willing to volunteer, but for another week, we want to leave it open for somebody who hasn't had the opportunity to experience Synod. I mean, it's a wonderful opportunity. There's hundreds of Moravians together at Moravian College, and you don't get to experience something like this unless you're willing to take the chance. It's a lot of hard work, but it's a lot of fun. And it really is cool to see the Moravian Church in action with legislation and song and praise, and a lot of good things come together that week. Also, please note, next week our CEC Christmas program will be happening during worship. It's great. The kids have already practiced 2 weeks. We're very excited to see how this is going to turn out. And the best selling point is the pastor shuts up that week and the kids just take control of the worship service. So if that's not enough for you, it's going to be a great time. We need people to also sign up for our Unity Prayer Watch, which will be on December 21st. I actually have a sign-up sheet right here. Let me hand this out. Carolyn, let me give this to you. Our Unity Prayer Watch day is December 21st. And for those of you that aren't familiar with this, it is something the Moravians have done since the early 1700s, where we as a worldwide church take time praying for our wider world, our Moravian world, and all our brothers and sisters that we know. And what that means is we take a day and we split it up into 24 prayer slots, where each hour is a prayer slot. And there's a Moravian somewhere around the world praying for somebody at every single moment of the day. And that is something we take very seriously. That is a very big part of our tradition. And if you get the opportunity to help with that, we're splitting that day with a few other churches, with Egg Harbor, Sharon, and some other out east, and it's good to see the collegiality of our wider church. Also, we are looking to get one of the other things we are looking at doing is we're trying to get a group together that would like to see the movie Star, and right now we're shooting for Saturday, December 16th in the afternoon right now. We think that's a good time, a sweet spot where the kids are able to go. They're done with practice. For those of you that aren't familiar with the movie Star, I don't know if you've seen the previews at all, but it is a cartoon movie that's coming out about the birth of Jesus, but it's from the perspective of the animals. And it seems to be like a really cute story, a great way to celebrate the nativity and the Christmas season. And I think it's just a good opportunity for our kids to get into the spirit of Christmas. And I believe I also have a sign-up sheet for that. So let me pass that around. Amy, you want to grab that? But it is an opportunity to see a movie that is not about aliens, werewolves, or zombies, and we have to take up that opportunity whenever we can get nowadays. Also, please note, Christmas Eve morning, that 10:30 a.m. service will be an ugly sweater Christmas. We're going to have a laid-back service, a chance to showcase the best of our worst holiday fashion, and we will also have our traditional candlelight service at 7 p.m., just a great celebration of our Lord coming into this world. And our Christmas Eve night offering, I want to remind you of this, will be donated to Soul Purpose and Friends of the Homeless. Our church has taken a serious belief that we need to give back to our community, and what a great way to do that with one of our biggest offerings of the season. And a lot of that is only possible because we have so many people who are giving and helping our church sustain itself. And if you don't feel comfortable giving to any of those, or if you prefer to write a check for the church, you can do that. Just put in your envelope and you can check the church box, and there's no issue with that at all. And New Year's Eve, we will celebrate our 70th anniversary service. My wife, Emily, has volunteered to put together the PowerPoint slide. I'm already enjoying looking through some of these pictures that are being sent my way from the 80s, the 90s, and the 70s, and just to see some of the hairdos that some of y'all had back in the day is kind of nice. And I'd love to put that on PowerPoint big screen. And we're really just enjoying getting to know the history behind this church. And so if you could get those pictures to Emily, we're going to do our best for those that are handed to us to scan them on and make sure we have a wonderful slide. And I think it'll be a great way to remember how God has touched our congregation. And then one last note I wanted to share is that Emily and I are inviting the Tar Hollow youth to an ugly sweater Christmas party. We figured since we bought ugly sweaters, we might as well use them twice this season. But for our Tar Hollow kids and all the volunteers, you do not have to go to Tar Hollow, but if you're in that age bracket of sixth grade to about 24, 25, we want you to come, have a good time with us. It'll just be a good, relaxed setting. Just please let us know if you're coming so we know how much food to order, and we think that'll be a great, great opportunity. And Emily and I will also be having an open house. Let me talk to my boss. What date did we agree on?
Saturday,
January 6th. Time to be determined. Just for everyone in the congregation to come to the parsonage. We really just want to say thank you for welcoming us to this community, for making our time here so special already, and we're just so excited to continue to be serving Schönbrunn Moravian Church, and we are lucky to have a great congregation beside us. At this time, Becky would like to let you know that she's passing out a sheet for ushers and greeters for January, so if you could please sign up for that, we would really appreciate that. Any other announcements at this time? Yeah, Delaney.
Mm-hmm. Normally,
Thank you. Cool. So not only do you get the opportunity to help with the ministry, but you get a deal on the potato chips. And I know we just sent out boxes, but we're always thinking about next year, so it's a great opportunity to support some of the vibrant ministries of our help that especially go to help young children. Any other announcements at this time? All right, let's stand and greet one another. Good morning, Eve. Good morning, Carolyn. Good morning, Charlotte. Good morning. Whoa, Ryan's getting strong. What's up, McCaff? Morning, good to see you again. Morning, Rick. We'll go all the way back. Morning, Kathy, how's it going? Morning, Ross, how's it going? Morning, Tiff, how we doing? Morning, Don. Morning, Jim. Morning, Allie. Morning, Becky. Morning, Joe. Morning, Joyce. Morning, Randy. Morning, Delete. Morning, Steve. Please remain standing as we join together in our watchword for the week. And our watchword for this week comes from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 40, verse 11. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you.
Beloved, let us be patient with God, for God is patient with us.
The Lord one day is like a thousand years.
God does not want any of us to perish.
God wants all of us to receive the gift of eternal life.
You may rise for the hymn, People in Darkness.
Turn to page 54 in your Moravian Book of Worship. Remain standing. Sing to the Lord a new song, for God has done marvelous things.
We will offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving and tell of God's deeds in songs of joy.
Awake, awake, you people of God. Put on your festive garments. The Holy One has delivered us and has become our salvation. Thanks to you, eternal God, for the word in human form given to us in the child of Bethlehem.
The word speaks to us in a way we cannot avoid.
Therefore, let us put aside the masks of pretended righteousness and confess our sins to God. Please be seated. Gracious God, this Advent season stirs the longing have Christ come alive within us,
that we allow ourselves to become a slave to cynicism, selfishness, and greed. In a season for freely giving and receiving, we tend to live by debt and obligation. We rush from past to past, scarcely opening our eyes to the ease and beauty around us. We glory in the vision of the old man Zachariah in the temple, which was fulfilled in his wife, Elizabeth. But our ministry to the elderly and our midst falls short. We sing of one who has laid in a around us. Forgive us all our sins. Forgive us, we pray. Gracious God.
Comfort. Comfort my people, says our God. Speak tenderly to them and proclaim that they have suffered long enough, that their penalty is paid and their sins are forgiven.
The grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all. Christ Jesus gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify the people of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Please stand. Christ, God incarnate, who lived among us as foretold by the prophets, who was descended from the royal line of David, and who was baptized in the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might.
He is not judged by what his eyes see, nor his eyes by what his ears hear, but the righteousness he judges the poor,
we believe in the coming reign of God when justice will be established in the earth.
How wonderful it is to see a messenger coming across the mountains who brings good news, the news of peace, who announces salvation, who says, where God remains.
The wolf shall live with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid. The calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them.
The earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea.
Jesus Christ, the greatest gift of all, and that out of that spirit, out of receiving that gift, that we too have the opportunity to give, out of our tithes, out of our offerings, and out of the spiritual gifts that God gives each one of us. Let us give faithfully to our God. Thank you. Please rise. Let us pray together the prayer of dedication. Prince of Peace,
help us to prepare the way of the Lord in a way that we compassionately give to our family, friends, neighbors, and strangers. Help us to see the presence of Christ in all whom we encounter.
Amen. You may be seated. In our prayers this week, we have a lot to be thankful for. Daniel Norman, Don and Becky's grandson, had another successful ear surgery. We continue to pray for him and hope for a speedy recovery. I also want to give thanks to my sister, Amanda Lippert. She had a successful emergency appendectomy on Tuesday. She's home. She's doing well, feeling strong. So we thank you for all your prayers there. Also, prayers of gratitude for all those who helped with our craft show yesterday. Emily and I got a chance to tour it, and we came home with some goodies, and we're very excited to see the life of our church so vibrant, and thank you for all who are helping with that. Also give thanks for our community, Moravian-wide communion service we had at Sharon Moravian Church last Sunday. We had over 200 people there. The Main Street Brass Band from Bethlehem was there, Al Frankie's group, and they were wonderful, and it was great to see so many dedicated people there to start the Christmas season, and I'm excited to see how many people we'll have at our Love Feast service today. And just continue to pray for all those who are undergoing test results, treatments, or therapy of any kind. And I also ask that you pray, we've had a few pedestrians in our community who were struck by vehicles this past week, and I know one of them is in critical condition, so please keep them in your prayers. Continue to pray for the safety of our community, that people drive slower and smarter during the holidays, and that we all take some time. I know it can be a hectic season, but sometimes we just need to slow ourselves down a bit. At this time, I ask you to open up your hearts and let us take a moment in prayer and invite God into this sanctuary. God, we come before you this Advent season, and we just want to say thank you. Thank you for all that you do, all that you create, all that you allow us to do, all the gifts that we get to share because you created us to be givers. God, today we listen to the voice of John, the voice that tells us to prepare the way of the Lord. God, sometimes we have questions about how to do it, what's the right way that we can do it. But God, help us to see that no matter what methods we choose, as long as we speak honest to the witness of Jesus Christ, we can prepare the way of the Lord. We can remind people that faith, hope, and love will always be stronger than darkness. And we thank you for that opportunity. God, we are thankful for the community ministries that we get to do, that we get to experience. Our young kids who got to sing in the children's harmonics, and we are so grateful that our church just exists beyond its walls, that it spread its compassion as if it's contagious, and we just want to say thank you. God, we realize, though, that this Christmas season can be difficult for some people, that they are hurting, that they are grieving, that they are feeling alone. And God, in these moments, we ask that you comfort these people, but we also ask that you call us to be your hands and feet, that we reach these people as you reach them. For we realize that we have a calling and a purpose to serve those who need you. And God, we come before you confessing that we are sinners today, that we need you, that we do what we not always should do, that we don't always think the best thoughts and we don't always do the best deeds. But your forgiveness is relentless. Your forgiveness is immediate. and it allows us to see that the compassion that is granted to us through Christ is unconditional and will last forever. In your name we pray. Amen.
The first scripture lesson can be found in Isaiah 40, 3-8, final page 511. A voice of one calling, in the desert prepared the make way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley should be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed. And all mankind together will see it, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out, and I said, what shall I cry? All men are like grass, and all of their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever. Second scripture lesson is found in Mark 1, 1-8, found on page 707. The beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. And so John came, baptizing in the desert region and preaching of a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all of the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist. He ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message. After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Chloe. At this time, I invite the children to come forward for the children's moment. Hi, Aubrey. Somebody's got some energy this morning, huh? Well, thank you all for coming up this morning. It's good to see you, and I hope you guys are enjoying the start of your Christmas season. Your Christmas tree is bigger than me. I hope so. You got to have a nice... Who's got a Christmas tree up already? Who out here has a Christmas tree up already? We are behind the game, aren't we, Emily? So what we're going to talk about is one of Jesus' best friends, and his name is John the Baptist. Do any of you know anything about John the Baptist?
Yeah, who's going to even talk about?
We're going to talk about him right now, and I want to tell you about something. John was something we would call, if he lived nowadays, he's a little bit different than how we were. He's a little, the fancy word we use is eccentric. He's very flamboyant. And John would do crazy things, like he wore camel hair for his clothes. Could you imagine that? Could you imagine going to school in your camel hair clothes? No? But then guess what else? You know what his favorite food was? What Chloe just read for it? Anybody guess what his favorite food was? Wild locusts. He ate grasshoppers. So imagine that. You're out in the middle of the woods, and you're making your s'mores, and you got your graham cracker. You got your chocolate, you got your marshmallow, and you put your little grasshopper right in the middle, and you go crunch, and then you take a nice big bite. How many of you would like to do that out here? There's a few. It's a delicacy in some countries, eh? Each their own. So what John came, and he was a little bit different, but he came with a very important message. And his message was, prepare the way of the Lord. So what I want us to do is think about ways we can prepare for the Lord. So let's start. Do you think it could start with some exercise? Let's try that. Who wants to try some jumping jacks? Let's see if that prepares the way of the Lord. So everybody get some space. Hold on. Let's get everybody get their spot. And on the count of three, let's do some jumping jacks. One, two, three. Oh, man. And stop. Do you guys feel prepared for the Lord? Do you feel ready? I don't know if we're there. I don't know if we're there yet. Let's do some push-ups. It's how I get them to pay attention for the sermon. Just get all the exercise. So everybody, do your push-ups. Keep going. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Done. Good job. Let's give them a round of applause. You did a different push-up. So you're getting stronger. So do you guys feel any more ready? Do you feel ready for God? Because you did push-ups. Did you do jumping jacks? Did that help you? Let's sit down. We'll give you a chance to catch your breath. So who here feels more ready, more prepared for the way of the Lord because they did some exercise? It was good. It was good. But it probably didn't quite get you where you needed to be, where your heart just felt really ready to serve God. So how do you think we really prepare ourselves to serve God, Rylan? 10,000 push-ups. Wow, that would be relentless. Pray. Somebody said prayer. Prayer is very good. That's a good way to prepare for the Lord. When's a good time we can pray?
At church.
What about at home? Paige? At nighttime. That's a good time to pray because guess what? If we pray when we go to bed and when we wake up, God knows that he's the last thing we think about when we go to sleep, and he's the first thing we think about when we wake up. And God gets to feel that gift from us, and that's special. What's another way we can prepare for the Lord? Was that sing? You said sing? Singing is a great way. We as Moravians love to sing for the Lord, and that way God knows that we have joy in our hearts. Was that wrong? Moravian singing is a good way. Any type of Christian singing, as long as you celebrate God. We can sing some more Moravian songs. When you're the pastor of this church, Ryland, we can let you. And you know what another way is? It starts with our ears. What do we do with our ears?
Hear.
And what do you do when you hear? To your mother or your father? What was that? That's good. When we're naughty. Why are we naughty? Because we're not. It starts with an L. Listening. Because we're not listening. So a good way to prepare for the Lord is to listen. Listen to the people around us. Listen to how God speaks to us in prayer. And listen to our parents. Because guess what? They were kids like us one day too, if you can believe it or not. And they made some of the same mistakes we made. And so they want to help us. They want to prepare us. So they prepare the way for us and our family. And you know one other way we can prepare the way of the Lord? What's that, Nate? Food. Food. That is a good way to prepare for the Lord. But what else? How can you treat people? Nice. Be nice to people. That's how we prepare the way for the Lord. Because we as Christians believe that God lives within every single person around us. Every single person. No one's excluded. And so you know what that means? We want to be nice to God. And how we're nice to God is being nice to every single person around us. Even though sometimes that can be really hard, because we can have siblings that tease us or push us, but we got to remember that God created us to love and to remind people to prepare the way of the Lord. So I want you guys, we're going to get in our prayer circle, but instead of doing our standard prayer, we're going to do something different.
Oh, we're going to do a
sit-down prayer? Oh, no, we're getting our energy up, Ryland. I already exhausted you. You want to grab hands right there? Perfect. Somebody want to grab her hand? Rylan, you want to grab her other hand? So what we're going to do is we're going to shout together, prepare the way of the Lord. So can you shout it with me? Yes. Prepare the way of the Lord. Let's do it louder. We can do better than that. One, two, three. Prepare the way of the Lord. All right. I think we need some help from the audience. Can we get some help? On the count of three. One, two, three. Prepare the way of the Lord. Good job. Thank you all very much. Go grab a treat. And the next way that we will prepare the way of the Lord is by joining together in song.
And you may remain seated for our next song. Before we turn our hearts for prayer, I think one of the good things about this text, Emily and I were talking about this last night, the prepare the way for the Lord text, is both of us have Godspell in our head for like the next week because we hear the songs from Godspell, the song Prepare the Way of the Lord, and it reminds us that at all times and all places that God can prepare our hearts for how God wants to work through us. Let us take a moment in prayer. God, we come before you today, and we just ask that you open up our hearts, our minds, and our ears to your words, that we can prepare the way of the Lord, and help us to let go of all our anxieties and our stress, and see that God is the one in charge, and we are grateful for that. In your name we pray. Amen. So for us, we always talk about, in seminary, preaching the gospel that's in front of you. And for Mark, we get a unique perspective of the gospel story. For Mark, the story of Jesus does not begin with a little baby in a barn. In fact, Mark skips over the entire childhood of Jesus. For Mark, he wants to get right to the point. He wants to know why Jesus came. And I think, in fact, if Mark were alive today, I think he would be a writer on a CSI show, a crime scene investigator. He had that knack for wanting to leave you on the edge of your seat. Because he begins his gospel, of all places, with a weirdo screaming in the desert. That's how he starts it. That's his cliffhanger. And he ends his gospel also with a cliffhanger. It is where Mary Magdalene is told by the gardener that the risen Lord is not there, and she walks away trembling and shaking. And it's almost like Mark is saying, come back for season 2 of the Gospel of Mark, because we want you to see more about this story. And this is why we should be thankful that we as Christians get to experience a four-gospel church, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Because without Matthew and Luke telling us about the prophecy and the birth of Jesus, we would spend our Christmas mornings, based on Mark's account, wearing camel's hairs outside and eating locusts instead of enjoying a nice Christmas ham, instead of sharing presents in our nice warm house. See, the gospel accounts are richer because they include four different distinct accounts about the life and times of Jesus Christ. And it was Zinzendorf, the founder of the Moravian Church, says, "Thank God we are a four-gospel church and not a one-gospel church, because it gives us so much more into the life and the perspective of Jesus Christ." So let's talk a little bit more about this text. John was asking the people to humble themselves before God by being baptized. And the important thing to remember is that baptism was not invented or created by Jesus. It was something that was used by Jews throughout this time. As Christians, baptism became important for us because it was a way to mark ourselves as followers and disciples of Christ. But there is a three-pronged approach at this time, in this time period, in Judaism for a Gentile to convert to Judaism. And you got to remember historically that Judaism was not created to be an easy religion to convert into. It still is not today. Actually, how they do it today, most rabbis are trained that when somebody knocks on their door and asks to join their synagogue or their community, that they walk away or they turn away. And the reason they do this is a symbolism for the hardness of the journey that they are expected out of them. That by joining this group of people, that you are expected to take on hardship, to endure suffering, and that you're not joining this church for the easy way out. But there is a three-pronged approach for Gentiles in this world to convert to Judaism. Number one, it's physical, it's circumcision. You mark yourself as a Jewish person. Number two is sacrifice. You have to give something of yourself. As I talked before, you're not joining Judaism or following or becoming a disciple without giving something of yourself. And number three is baptism, because baptism symbolically was wiping away your old self and rising to your new self. You're washing away all that sin, all that badness to yourself, and you are rising as a new Jewish person. And what made John the Baptist unique, unlike any other prophet, he demanded all three of these prongs from everyone. Not just Gentiles, but he demanded this from Jewish people, that you be circumcised, that you sacrifice, and you also get baptized, which was unheard of, because those Jews were taken care of. They were good. They were Jewish from birth. And John said, no, we're all equal under the eyes of God. We all need to start from the beginning. And it was Jesus Christ himself who was willing to do that, who said, treat me as you would treat a Gentile. Baptize me, John. And that's Jesus embracing the humility, embracing that his leadership comes from being a servant. So the question we have to ask ourselves as a modern world today is, how do we prepare the way of the Lord? None of us, I don't see any of us running off into the wilderness and getting camel's hair, and I don't think it would work quite the same way, especially if you tried Shenron Village, and I know just freezing my butt off there for 2 hours, I'm ready to go back into my heating right after that service. So it's hard to put ourselves in that perspective of John. But there's ways to do that, because we as Christians, we're not called to separate from society. We're called to participate, to change the people around us. Because it's so easy to walk away and say, I'm not going to deal or influence anybody, but we are called to do something harder, to work with people. And one of the ways we do that is we lift up the spirits of those around us. Do people know you are Christians by how you conduct yourself? Would they have to ask you, do your actions reflect compassion? The compassion that Christ gives you. Do you show that? And part of that is just by committing ourselves to random acts of kindness that show that we are disciples of Christ, that we are willing to follow that, that we're more than just about talking the talk, but we're walking the walk. And one of the great ways to do that as we think about this Christmas season are people who are lonely. And I challenge you this Christmas season to lift up the spirits of somebody around you. Visit a relative, a friend, or somebody who's in a nursing home, and just give them your presence. Because I think that is such a key part of what Jesus teaches. Just show up for people. And that's one of the things I've learned very early on in my ministry. You know, I came equipped to these hospital rooms, and I thought I had to have that perfect Bible verse picked out that was just right for that time, and I would study it. And you know what I realized is after spending all these times with all these people in hospital rooms, in nursing homes, I realized they didn't care so much about me having the perfect scripture or the perfect piece of advice. All they cared about was the fact that I showed up, that I had presence. And I guarantee you that the people around you will remember that. Because during your worst moments, during the moments where your heart is absolutely breaking, you're not going to remember the words that people tell you. It's just there's too much going on in your heart, in your mind. But I guarantee you, you're going to remember who was squeezing your hand in that moment, who was helping you, who was guiding you. And that's why never underestimate your ability to show up for others, to be the living, breathing body of Christ. Because we have that opportunity, and so often we dismiss it because we don't think we have the right words to say, that we know what that person is going through. But just show up. One of my favorite writers, Parker Palmer, he's a very big Christian writer. He suffered with depression for quite a bit of his life, and we talked in our Job class a lot about some of the mental health issues we wrestle with in our world today. And he said the best person that ever visited him was a friend that he had. And the interesting thing about that friend is he never said a word to him. He just came to Parker's hospital room, and he just massaged his feet every single day, methodically. You could count on this person being there. And Parker said that was more powerful than anybody saying to him, hey, buck up, you can handle it, you got this. It was somebody just showing up for him and reminding him that no matter what, their love was unconditional, that God's love for them is unconditional. And that is the power of presence that each one of us have. And another one of my favorite writers, Max Lucado, said one of the things, especially when we think about Christmas, is anxiety, how much stress we have. We have all the lists to get done, all the family gatherings to get done. And it seems like no matter how much we cross off, that list keeps growing. And Max Lucado said, loosen up. Don't you have some people to hug, rocks to skip, or lips to kiss? Someday you are going to retire. Why not today? Not retire from your job, just retire from your attitude. Honestly, has complaining ever made the day go better? Has grumbling ever paid the bills? Has worrying about tomorrow ever changed it? Let someone else run the world for a while. And that's part of our preparation in our own internal hearts, is trusting that God is going to lead us through all those anxieties and stress. And I know Emily and I went through a stressor this week. Her car died this past Friday, and her 2001 Volvo is now with Jesus. So we had to do a little car shopping this week. And it's amazing how your mind can cycle when you do that about, oh, how long is this next car going to last me? And what does the payments look like if the 2001 car I'm driving with 190,000 miles, what happens if that car dies next week? And you just cycle, and you cycle, and you cycle until you get to a point where you realize, you know, I just got to trust God. Because we're 6 months out of seminary, and somehow we found a way to get another car, and God provided for that. We didn't know how, but God did provide. And if we just go to that mindset, if we just release all those anxieties and approach those situations that God will provide, we will feel so much better. Now, that doesn't mean if you make $5,000 to go out and buy a Lexus. That's not what I'm saying at all. But I'm saying just have trust that God will lead you through those anxieties and those stresses. And be content with what God has given you. Be thankful for what God has given you. Because there's so many people who are looking, even if they have 3 cars, they want 5. Even if they have a lake house, they want a bigger lake house. And the people that are happiest are the ones who are thankful for what God has given them. And I think about this all the time when I'm dealing with people in customer service. I worked in a gas station for 3 years. How many people work some form of retail in their life, or sales, or a counter? And I always remembered, you know, those big businessmen who would come in, just wanted you to feel like They were the most important people in the room, and they always had their cell phone to their ear. They were always too busy to talk to you, and there were people who always looked angry. And the fact that you had a smile on their face would upset them, and I could never understand that. Why was my happiness so frustrating to you? And what I came to realize is that these people had every single material blessing that God could offer. They had that big house. They had that big car. They had that picture-perfect Facebook family for all the perfect greeting cards. But they didn't accept the fact to be grateful, to be satisfied, to be a loving person. And it upset them so mad that they could see somebody who was happy, who was making $8 an hour, who had none of those things. But gratitude is so strong that it allows us to be grateful, that we don't need more than what we've been given, because God will provide, and we know that. And the last lesson I'd want you to carry out this day is that John teaches us that a voice for Jesus doesn't lead with power, but with heart. That's what made John unique. That's what made John special as a prophet. So we have to ask ourselves, how do we lead? How are we leaders in our church, in our community? And one of my favorite examples of leadership are people who lead with their ears. I read Walk to Freedom by Nelson Mandela after I graduated from college. Those of you that don't know Nelson Mandela, he's basically the Martin Luther King Jr. of South Africa. He was imprisoned for 25 years for his fight for freedom for Africans in Africa, and he actually went on to be president of South Africa. And Nelson Mandela actually spoke at a Moravian conference after he was president because of how strong the Moravian presence is in South Africa. And Nelson Mandela is a man that I pictured as, he was talking about his spirit animal, and I was expecting a lion or a bear or something, you know, strong, because this man had been through it all. He'd been in prison for 30 years for what he believed, so he had to be this fearless, ferocious leader. And he talked about a sheep, about how his leadership style was a shepherd. And he talked about every time he had a meeting with a group of people, he had one goal in mind. And you know what that goal was? To be the last person at that table to speak. Because he wanted to be somebody who spoke with the voice of every single person around him. Not somebody who just had an opinion, but who was shaped by what those taught him. And it was such a great way to look at leadership. Because you think about that. If you listen to your own thoughts and your own beliefs, you formed an opinion. But if you take the time to listen to every single person in the room around you, to what they think, what they believe, what they hold dear, then you speak of somebody who's behind a movement, who's behind 1,000 voices. And that's what gives your voice power, not some idea of authority, but your idea of compassion, your willingness to listen. That's what makes a true leader. And John and Jesus are people who teach that. Jesus so often was willing to listen to those that people would rather ignore than listen to. So as we approach this Christmas season, remember we are all capable of reminding the world to prepare the way of the Lord. And brothers and sisters, it's good to hear from John the Baptist, because if you think you are too awkward or too weird or not right to do this, remember, none of you have nothing on John. He was the weirdest guy you could possibly think about in the Bible. Everybody thought he was just wired a little different. He was incredibly eccentric, a free spirit. But John testified to the truth about Jesus. And when John spoke, people paid no attention to the camel hair clothing that he had or his dirty face from living in the wilderness. But you know what they focused on? They focused on John's heart, because they saw that's where John was speaking from. And they saw that John's heart belonged to God, and they wanted what John had. For if we prepare the way of the Lord in our hearts, nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible. So this Christmas season, I ask you, what will your hearts testify about God? Live in that spirit of truth, that nothing is impossible with God. Let us pray. God, we come before you and we just want to say thank you. Thank you for sending that voice out in the wilderness that points us to Jesus Christ. And help us to see that all of us are capable of sharing that word, and that you call each of us in our own way to testify to the truth and the love and the power that is found in the salvation of Jesus. And we just want to say thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. At this time, I invite you to rise as we join together in our Going Out into the World hymn. Bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Jesus, amen.